Welcome to The Holistic Entrepreneur with holistic nurse practitioner, success coach, and best-selling author, Bonnie Gressel. Bonnie and her expert guests share tips, tools, and strategies to achieve success on your holistic entrepreneur journey. Each show features answers to common entrepreneur challenges, along with a healthy dose of support and motivation. Now, please welcome the host of The Holistic Entrepreneur, Bonnie Gressel.
Welcome to The Holistic Entrepreneur, everyone. This is your host, Bonnie Gressel. Now, today I have a fabulous guest to share with you. Scott Smith is here, and we're going to talk about setting up your business so that you have the best protection and the best tax savings. And that's something that probably a lot of us haven't really thought about. So I'm going to introduce Scott in just a moment. But first, I always want to take a moment to thank all of you for taking time out of your busy day to share with me here on the show. I am so honored that you do that, because I know that time is our most precious asset, and I always want to make sure that these shows are value-packed so that you feel your time was well spent. Now, I think being a holistic entrepreneur is really more about who you are than what you do. You come from that heart-centered place. You want to make a difference in the world. You truly love helping people live their dream. And perhaps that's you, and that's why you've decided to join us on the show today. So if this is your first time listening, welcome. And if you've tuned in before, welcome back. I hope that you find this will be another great show with insights that you can take that help you on your entrepreneur journey. And make sure that you check out the show page before you leave. I always put the links to a guest that I have on, so Scott's link is on the show page, as well as free gifts and ways to connect with me. So make sure you check that out before you leave. Now, maybe you have a message to share. I always love meeting new people and having guests on the show. Reach out to me if you would like to share your message with the world. Now, allow me to introduce our guest for today. Scott Smith is the founder and CEO of Royal Legal Solutions. He's a dynamic podcast guest who prides himself on successfully conveying the essentials in asset protection to audiences nationwide. Scott is no stranger to high-stakes litigation and has spent his career deconstructing asset protection structures and developing strategies that serve to both protect what you own as well as leverage your income and maximize your tax savings. With experience in entrepreneurship, starting several successful companies, and owning real estate in about 10 states, Scott pulls from his experience and expertise as an attorney to put a new perspective on business ownership. Join me now in welcoming Scott Smith to the show. Well, welcome, Scott. Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy day to share with us here at The Holistic Entrepreneur. I know you're a busy person, so I so appreciate your time.
Yeah, Bonnie, it's really great to be here. I take every opportunity I can to help other people. It's like my way of kind of giving back from having, you know, some appreciable measure of success and some maybe some lessons learned, you know, that I can share with other people that are, you know, aspiring entrepreneurs on the way to success.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I read a little bit about people in their bio, obviously, but there's always more to the story, right? Would you share with us a little bit more about your journey, Scott, and how you came to do the work that you do today?
You know, I was been a real estate investor for about 8 years. I actually bought my first property and ran my first business while I was in law school. And that was pretty wild because we were working a job with a district attorney, me and my partner, while we were going to law school and trying to run a transmission and auto repair shop with the building that we had bought in conjunction with it. The good news is that we were able to flip that building at the end of law school and run that shop during. So we graduated without any debt from law school. So that's kind of how I started. And, you know, that was my first go at just letting caution to the wind and jumping into business.
Wow, that's a great story to be able to finish law school without any debt. Oh my goodness.
To work amazing. Your way through no debt.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Like people will pay for you, but to actually like have to run an actual company while going to school and do that, that's probably the most challenging thing I've ever had to do before, just because there's the time constraints are so serious and everything is super important. Because like if you can't fail at a law school, you can't fail at your job because that'll ruin your resume and that you won't be able to get a job after law school. And you can't let your business fail because that's how you're paying for everything.
Yeah.
But it's good.
So, you know, talking about business, I mean, that's what entrepreneurs do is they They develop and they create businesses and hopefully grow them to great successes. But, you know, it always sort of concerns me that if there's not that safety net there, there's not protection. And I know that's a lot of what you do in your work, Scott. Would you share with us a little bit about, like, where do people start with that?
Yeah. So, you know, typically when you're thinking about how to run a business, there's a tried and true method that everybody's always used and every corporation uses in a big sense, right? Is that the first thing that everybody has is some form of insurance, because insurance get rid of really nuisance lawsuits that can appear. And it's a really cheap way of getting rid of 80% of the bad things that can happen. The second thing that you would want to do is start looking at a company structure. The company structure helps you protect the other 20% and closes the loop for the kinds of protection you need. Inside of that company structure, you need two separate companies. You need one company that's going to hold all of your assets. And we call that an asset holding, typically an LLC. And you also need a completely separate company that's like your shell company. So your asset holding company will own everything and it manages nothing. And then your shell company that will manage everything, but it will own nothing. Does that make sense?
It does. So give us some examples. I mean, I think most people probably know what an LLC is, but what type of structure would the shell company be? What form would that take legally?
Yeah. So I typically am always using LLCs for both of these.
Oh, for and both.
Almost, okay. For almost every circumstance, because your elections on what type of company you need to form, where people get caught in the minutiae of all that, has everything to do with taxation. Mm. Well, all you really need to do to figure that out is go to your CPA with a books or get a consultation with a CPA with what your books are and your income. And they'll be like, oh, here's your optimal tax strategy. And then you come to an attorney like myself, and then we can actually build the machine for you with the companies that put in place for you, right? But everything is working backwards from how do you keep the most money out of the government's hands? Because that's your tax strategy. And then you build everything else on top of what that tax strategy informs you need to do.
So it sounds like, you know, the insurance piece and how you've set up your company structure not only protects you, you know, legally against lawsuits and things like that, but also protects you from losing too much money to the government, so to speak.
Well, yeah, that's exactly right. Like, the government's taking a bite out of everything you do, right? So, you know, protecting yourself from the government is also equally important, right? From taxes, because that's part of your bottom line. And there's really, I mean, there's some tried and true methods of doing that, right? Like, you know, once you start having over $40,000 to $50,000 a year coming in to your business, you should always be using an S corporation for your taxation. That costs you a little bit more because you have to file, you know, an additional tax return once you have an S corp, but you get to save 15% on your self-employment tax. And if you're a, you know, a solo person, and, you know, and you're the sole owner of that company, what you can do is set up a solo 401k, like your own 401k for your company that you personally own. And then you can keep up to $50,000 a year in income and hold that tax-free for investing or doing whatever else you want with it, because 50% of that money would be able to be loaned to yourself even. So there's all these like neat ways that you can you know, structure a company for protection, but then have, you know, lower your tax bill as well as do some tax avoidance by using some of these other, you know, creative strategies that frankly, like, tons of people are using. They're very common. They're just not very well known about in the public sphere.
So, you know, it sounds like, you know, as much about, and maybe I'm wrong here, about, you know, accountant stuff and the whole money side of things as you do about the litigation and lawsuits and potential, you know, security issues as well.
Well, I mean, I like to think that I kind of get around, Bonnie. I'm kind of about making money.
Yeah.
You know, how do we do that? I'm about the making money game. Like, how does that work? And that's actually kind of what drew me into doing Royal Legal Solutions. Yeah. It's because it was really what found me at the heart of all this, is that, you know, taxes, legal, and what entrepreneurs and what business people and people that have, you know, investment assets, that whole spectrum, like, the stuff you read about it is all over the map with all kinds of crazy recommendations and none of them actually being very clear. But I was like, man, somebody has to come in here and actually clean this up and start giving people direct answers of, like, this is what you need to be doing, and stop trying to play this game of hide the ball with what the answers are. What I try to do in coming on your show here, Bonnie, and with all the shows and all the information that I have on the Royal Legal Solutions website, is kind of like open the kimono. Let's show everybody exactly what it is you need to do and all the considerations for it. And then really ask the proposition about, do you want to build it yourself? Because you can, I just showed it to you, or we can build it for you. And I think that's the way that all law and law practices and tax practices need to be changing in the future, is that kind of transparency and what's going on, because that's how we all benefit each other as a community of people all trying to improve our lives together.
Oh, I love that. And you're right. I would love to see it change to that model. And I can certainly see by just chatting with you for a little bit, Scott, that you come from that holistic place. It's, you know, looking at the whole thing, making it simpler for people and, you know, not sort of hiding information, as so often, I think myself included, as entrepreneurs find when we work with a lot of people in your industries, you know, accounting and attorneys.
Yeah, I think so. And everybody wants, you know, everybody wants to charge you a ton of money just to talk to you, to let you know what's going on, right? As if there was like a secret knowledge out there that's only, you know, bestowed upon a few. I think information is really meant to be shared. You know, just like this piece that I was just telling with you now about how you should have an asset holding company, a separate, you know, shell operating company, you know, establish as an S corp if you have over $50,000, set up your own solo 401k so you can do all this tax avoidance. Like, that's a really advanced strategy that people would make you pay like $1,000 to be able to even know about, so you could take their online e-course. And I just don't believe in that. So I'm like, no, we're going to give that away for free. Like, everybody in my company, we have 43 people now that work for me. And everybody in my company always yells at me every single time I'm giving away something for free. Because like, you should be charging for that, Scott. You're hurting the bottom line. I'm like, I don't care. I'm about giving away the free stuff. We're giving it all away. I'm like an Oprah of online tax and legal advice.
Yeah. Instead of saying, here's a car, you get a car, right?
Yeah, here's a free e-course. Here's a free information. This is what you should be doing. Don't hire me unless you have to, because I know your money is valuable. You know?
Well, and that's so refreshing, you know, to hear, because I think a lot of, especially newer entrepreneurs, say that 1 to 5 year or so mark, there's so much to spend your money on, so many things to learn and do and all that sort of stuff. And this is one piece that I think a lot of people just kind of push away because, oh, there's no way I could ever afford that. Maybe nothing will ever happen. And, oh, I don't really need to pay attention to how much money the government's, you know, taking. They probably don't even know that there's a way to do it better.
Well, there's a way to set it up right, you know, so you can start with one foundation that grows with you. It's very affordable. I mean, under like a couple $1,000, you can set yourself up with very well put together structures that, if set up correctly, they protect you, but they also lower your tax consequences of it, and they keep you in a position where you're running things correctly. As entrepreneurs, the greatest thing about it is that nobody is really watching your back if you're at the top of the food chain, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you're at the top of your own company. So it's really easy to kick cans down the road in like other things, like bookkeeping, for example, because you'd say, well, I got money in the bank. The company's going to survive for another 3 months, right? Which is like, I would say, a scarily large amount of what happens to entrepreneurs, because bookkeeping actually makes you $0 and is not necessary for you to be able to run the company. But what you find is that, you know, I had one client that I was working with just now who, he brought him into there, and it's part of our membership that we do a full company review with everybody to kind of see where they're at. And part of being a member of the firm is this continuous, ongoing, and unlimited legal advice at no additional cost. And the one of the things we looked at is like, he had a company that was really strong for like 2 years, but no bookkeeping at all. Mm-hmm. And he was getting larger, but he's like, I don't have any control of what's actually going on anymore. So then bookkeeping became really present. So like, now it's a huge problem with him, because actually stunted all of his growth, and he can't really do anything until he can actually get a handle on his books, because he could bankrupt his own company and shut it all down by just any wrong step, because it's too big and it's too unwieldy. So I would say for a lot of these things, like asset protection, company structuring, you know, getting your insurance in place, is you can kick the can down the road for like a little while. But what's even better than that is to, you know, find really efficient ways to set up a foundation that you can grow off of correctly. And I happen to think that we do that really well by setting it up for people and then also being a touch point for them, that they always have one definitive resource they can go to that doesn't cost them anything extra every time they need to talk to somebody about what do I need to do next or how should I be thinking through this problem. Because I don't know about you, but the consultants that I hire right now have only gone up in price. They're usually like $200 to $500 an hour. And as for a starting entrepreneur, that's impossible. You can't afford that.
Yeah. You know, I think that there's, in my mind, there's like two groups of entrepreneurs. There's people who are just starting and they don't have anything in place. They don't have a business structure in place. They don't have liability insurance or anything like that, errors and omissions or whatever they should have. None of that's there yet. And then there's people who have been in business for a few years and things are going okay, but they never did those things in the beginning. How do you deal with, do you see both of those types of clients in your practice, Scott?
Yeah. So you see those, right? There's a misconception that happens with the way that we look at the world as entrepreneurs, because you see like the beginning entrepreneurs that have no, let's just talk about insurance, for example. So they have no insurance and they're growing their company and there's a ton of those people because they're just in the market. So they just actually came into existence, really, right? Mm-hmm. Then you see people that are midstream. And they're like, this person never has had insurance. They might not even have like an LLC in place. And then if you talk to that person, they'll be like, why do you need all that? Just like run your business. Like, honestly, don't screw anybody over and you're going to be fine, But like, who's all of the other people that you're not even seeing because bad stuff happened and they've just gone away, mm-hmm. right? You're only seeing the people that survived, right? And didn't have anything happen to them. You're not seeing all the other ones that have the horror stories about what happened, because the reality situation is that the way the world works is that we don't want to share about what our dirty laundry is with each other because it makes us look bad. And so the appearance of what risks are very skewed because people only put their best face forward and likely you're only seeing the people that got lucky, mm-hmm. that nothing happened to them.
Yeah. And you can do, everything right. The comment that you made just earlier about someone saying, you just do everything right and nothing will ever, bad happen to you. You can be doing everything right, but there are some, I don't want to use this term too lightly, but crazy people, but there are people out there who like, you can't depend on that. It's kind of like driving, you can drive as careful as you want, but you can't rely on what the other car coming the other direction is going to do.
Well, yeah. If you think that you're never going to get sued, what you have to say is that I never think I'm going to have a disagreement or misunderstanding with anybody. Mm-hmm. Like you'd have to really believe that.
Yeah.
I mean, even to say that you're honest, because honest and trustworthy people get sued all the time, right?
Yep.
And most of the time when people think about fraud that, normal people would, they'd say, oh, well, I'm never going to commit a fraud because I'm honest, right? But that's not how fraud claims work. Okay. Like fraud claims work because you sent a couple of emails back and forth to somebody and now there's a written record of you making, some type of statement and that somebody says, well, you lied to me about that statement. And that's the base of the fraud claim. Like I had a client that I helped here that she's a client of mine and she had a lawsuit threatened against her because when she was selling the house, her flip property, the buyer had asked her, what plumbing underneath the house have you replaced? And her response email was all the plumbing has been replaced. So like 6 months later after the sale, there's a leak in the plumbing that's in the upstairs bedroom. And while they're on vacation, cost $75,000 worth of damages. Mm. And the lawsuit that there's being sued about was fraud because the buyer said, you told me all of the plumbing in the house mm-hmm. been replaced and the plumbing upstairs wasn't replaced. And my client said, no, I meant all of the plumbing that was underneath the house. You have to read that in context between it all, right? Well, that's a case of fraud because what they're saying is you lied to me about what that is. And really, it's just a misunderstanding of what people meant. We got her out of that case because she had the right asset protection, pieces in place using a series LLC to protect all of her real estate and other assets. But that's how easy it is. It's emails.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now probably texts as well.
Seriously. I mean, everything can come in and then because everything has a written record attached to it now,
yeah,
anything is possible to float in front of a jury. And then you have like eight random people that get to decide about your financial fate, you know, which is an insane system, right? Because like, I wouldn't trust eight people to sack my groceries that I didn't know, you know, like much less to decide my financial fate. So, so what I believe in is, setting ourselves up as business owners to have the ability to be sued and to not really care. It's not that we don't ever not care totally, but it's saying it's really going to make a near zero impact on my life from the lawsuit. And there's ways you can do that with the correct, you know, asset holding with insurance and a company structure put in place. Because at the end of the day, a lot of this is built around either one of two things. It's either we need a foundation for us to grow the business on so we don't have, you know, a bump in the road that unexpectedly happens, like a lawsuit that causes us to divert from our plan and our path of what we're trying to get to. Or two, it's that we have assets and we need to protect them so that way we can live a peaceful life. So that if there's a lawsuit or something unexpected happens with that, they can't really threaten our security or our financial safety with that. So no matter what way you're cutting it, what we're really trying to do here is create systems that are going to allow people to pursue what it is they want to do better as well as live more peaceful lives.
Oh, I love that. You know, we could talk about this all day, Scott, because I think this is fascinating information, information that people need to hear, but I know we have limited time on this show. So if there was like one thing that you really wanted people to take away from our conversation today, or maybe it's something we've talked about, maybe something we haven't even touched on yet, what do you think that one thing would be?
The one thing I would take away from it is to take an action and finding out what it is that you need, even if you can't do anything about it right now. At least expose yourself to the information for whatever that's going to be, right? So that's not necessarily just about like insurance or asset protection or the stuff that I'm doing here, but I'm talking about anything in your life that is that stuff that you're trying to shove down in the bottom of the closet, being like, I don't want to look at it yet, to have some courage just to take a look at it. Take the step of even taking a look at it and getting on the phone with somebody that knows a little bit about it to talk with you through about it. I can guarantee you what'll happen is that after you get the information about it, it's not nearly as scary or confusing or whatever you've built it to be as you think it is. So have the courage to take honest looks at the things that you don't want to look at.
Oh, that's such great advice, because I think there's a lot of people in that camp that are just kind of, you know, pushing it down and it'll go away if I don't pay any attention to it.
Oh, I see it all the time around asset protection, estate planning. Nobody wants to think about like they're dying. What's going to happen with that, right?
Yeah.
But you need to make plans about that. So, you know, because most people actually care what happens to their stuff when they go, they just don't want to. It's just not very pleasant to think about, really, right? Yeah. But I think it's the one thing that really changed my entrepreneurship trajectory was the ability to stay detached from getting sucked into things that I was afraid to look at because it felt gross or I was like insecure or unsafe. Like I felt like, I don't really know a lot about that. I don't want to look at it. So I was like, okay, well, you got to jump into it now.
Mm. You know, Scott, I know that people are going to want more of you to see, you know, learn a little more about your services, how you can help them through that kind of jungle that they're afraid to go into. Tell us how they can get more of you, find out about your services, connect with you online or however.
Yeah. So, I mean, you can come to their website, the royallegalsolutions.com website, and we have a ton of free content on there and you can download any one of our free, you know, eBooks. You know, if you're looking to protect assets, it's the you know, top 10 things you need to know to protect your assets. If you're looking to start, you know, down an entrepreneurship path, we have some information that we're given to you, Bonnie, for you to help distribute to your network there. People can call us at 512-757-3994. They can email me at scott@royallegalsolutions.com. And for everybody here, I think that you guys would probably really enjoy my podcast that's launching September 1st. It's called the Real Estate Nerds Podcast, and it's about the 50% of investing has to do with the deal itself. or the business itself from an entrepreneur's perspective. The other half is the people behind it and what they did or didn't do that led to their best and worst deals. So we're really digging into really successful people that are entrepreneurs and investors that are really coming onto the show and airing a lot of their dirty laundry about, like, here's what I did and here's how bad it actually turned out because of some, you know, fundamental mistakes of, you know, what I wasn't aware of. It's either like blind spots they had at the time, or, you know, things that they just kind of rushed into because of the excitement that got them over the fear, kind of ran wild and actually blinded them to doing their due diligence. All kinds of cool stories that I think everybody can identify with along their own journey. So that way they can say, like, oh, that's just when Bob did that. I'm not doing that this time because I'm going to learn from Bob's mistake.
Yeah. And I bet I'm just guessing that you probably won't have any shortage of having guests on the show.
The more successful that you are, the bigger likely you've failed.
Yeah.
Or like the more funny ways that you failed, you know. What's really great is that, like, the more successful people get is, like, the more they can just look at their own failures and be like, yeah, that's just what happens.
Yeah.
You know, and like the detachment from it being like a crippling thing is so important to being like, you know, sometimes life is really out of your control, but what's in your control is preparation and being proactive about doing the things you know you need to do. Even though you can't control the outcome, you can control the process that you're living by.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I want to thank you so much for being on the show today, Scott. And I will put the link to your website right on the show page. So people just have to click on it and poof, magically they're there. So thank you so much for being on the show today, Scott. I have truly enjoyed it. And I would love to actually have you back again sometime and talk more about this because there's so much stuff we never even got to today.
Thanks, Bonnie. Yeah, this is super fun. Thanks for having me on.
You've been listening to The Holistic Entrepreneur, hosted by Bonnie Gressel. The Holistic Entrepreneur has been brought to you by M&B Global Solutions, your source for individualized coaching for entrepreneurs and authors, along with book editing and publishing services. To learn more, go to mandbglobalsolutions.com.